that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning, this beautiful April 16th, 2022. Oh, the world calls it Easter weekend, Resurrection weekend. You know, the enemy's changed times. Who knows? But we do our best to rejoice that Jesus Christ is risen and the stone was rolled away. And we do our best to remember and be thankful for that every day. And we hope that you do as well. But we've got a full house this morning for you, Remnant. And again, we thank you for joining us. And Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. And Josh from way down south, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And don't want anybody to be offended, we've got way up north represented as well. Zach, thanks for joining this morning, sir.
And good morning.
And Paul, you as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to join us on the phone, if you have a comment or a question, we'll do our best to get it addressed. And I think there's plenty to talk about, plenty on people's minds. And we're going to start out with a quick word of prayer, though. And so we hope you'll join us with that. And again, a reminder to you, Remnant, to start your day with prayer. You know, you can get in the habit when you get your eyes open in the morning. Maybe the alarm goes off, or you just wake up. You know, be thankful for another day. We should do that. We really should. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather here with your like-minded Christians, Lord, with those that love you and serve you and obey you. And thank you for the encouragement that it is for each and every one of us, Lord, and the encouragement for your people. Lord, let all that we talk about this morning glorify you. Let it bless you in all that we say, in all that we think, in all that we do. Lord, there are plenty of things going on in the land. We pray, Father, that your people would continue to have their eyes opened, that you would continue to guide and direct us in all that we come across each and every day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be here with us this morning to direct us to do what is pleasant and pleasing to you, and Lord, again, to tend your sheep. And we thank you for that. For Lord, we do love you. Help us to love you more, to help us to love you with our heart, mind, and soul, and Lord, as you said, to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to glorify you in all things. Direct us, guide us, and Lord, we look to you for our health, our safety, our welfare, and deliverance in these times. And we glorify you in this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, one headline, I'll just start out. Don't know if we want to go that way or not, but one headline I saw this week was record wind, tornadoes, storms, snowfall, and wildfires all this week, all here in the good old USA. And, you know, maybe that's just springtime. I know we talk about out here a term I've learned to use out here is springtime in the Rockies. It might be cold in the morning and warm in the afternoon. And I know we get that at different parts of the country. Heaters in the morning and air conditioners in the evening. But that seems a bit extreme. But it almost seems the norm anymore. You know, record wind. And when you see tractor trailers blown over on the interstate, you know, that's a little tough. It really is. But the storms, snow in parts of the country, wildfires in parts of the country, I think that I saw yesterday that there are 10 significant wildfires. Tennessee, Texas, as well as California in different places, Oklahoma. But 10, you know, significant wildfires across the country. And it's not the right season for that is the thing. Anyway, it was something that caught my eye. I didn't know if we wanted to go down that route or not, but we're again just seeing more and more of it.
This morning I was whenever you were asking about the weather, and we were talking about the different, you know, weather in the different places we're at spread across the country. I was thinking about how so many conversations, they begin with that. You know, if you picture in your mind's eye some old men sitting around the diner at 5 a.m., you know, a bunch of old farmers in overalls, what are they going to be talking about? They'll be talking about the weather to start out with, and then they're going to go from there. Just thinking about what that signifies in us and who we are, you know, you pretty much got the same. Either it's going to be cloudy or it's going to be sunny. It's going to be hot or it's going to be cold. You know, it might be just right. But the weather is the same all the time, even though it's different. And been taking in parallel in that with where we're at right now in the country and the world, just how you can feel that weather changing. You know, there's a storm brewing, and pretty much everybody picks up on it that something's coming. And part of the signs are those actual physical weather attributes that you're talking about, Richard. You know, that the signs that are there for us, that, hey, this isn't normal. But it's interesting because everybody, or I must say everybody, but a lot of folks recognize that the weather's changing, the winds are changing, something big's going on. And so piggybacking off yours, Richard. That's what I was thinking.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, in Acts, they were talking in Acts 1, the disciples were asking Christ, is this the time when you're going to restore again the kingdom of Israel? And in verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And obviously he was talking about the coming of the kingdom, but the secondary message there is it's in God's power, you know, and we talk about a lot of things, weather manipulation and different situations that are mankind, you know, fiddling with things that they shouldn't be fiddling with. But at the end of the day, the Father's put it in his own power. You know, I mean, nothing proceeds in that ecosystem without either God allowing it or that's the way he wants it. You know what I'm saying? So he has it well in him, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen to that. Amen.
I think Paul's got a good way of putting that. I really like the way that you explain it, Paul, with the weather.
You're asking me how to explain the weather?
No, I like your explanation of that and the scripture that you share about God controlling the weather.
Oh, I went to a meeting one time up in, you know, Patriot Maven, and they were talking about the government seeding the clouds and all that stuff like that. And it kind of troubled me. Well, I went home and read my Bible, and God says, I control the weather. So we have to look at that, what's going on now. He's controlling the weather, and he said he would send the whirlwind, the rain, and the earthquakes and everything. So it's definitely him that's controlling it. In my opinion, yeah, he definitely is controlling this, and he's going to get our attention one way or the other, because we're going to be helpless before this is all done, if we aren't already.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Yeah, 307-745-5913. Hadn't changed in 20 years. You'd think I'd remember it. And if you have a call or a question, we'll be glad to take it. And another headline I saw was not that we've talked about it before. I think we've all recognized it, but homeschooling numbers have tripled over the last 2 years. So that's like a 300% increase, I guess is another way to put that. That more and more people are saying, you know, no to this transgenderism being taught in the schools, to the critical race theory being taught in the schools, to the just the replacement history, the falsehoods, the lies that more and more people are seeing it. We see it with the most recent reports of the Disney agenda. You know, how they've been, they're pushing this, not only at Disney World and Disneyland, but in all that they do, that it's this grooming, it's this, not a plan to let the parents teach and raise the children, but, you know, this indoctrination. And more and more people are seeing it. And I think that headline, you know, homeschooling numbers tripled over the last 2 years, that, 2 years ago, the parents that caused these numbers wouldn't have thought about it, wouldn't have thought about maybe having the mother quit her job and stay home with the children. And I heard a talk on the radio yesterday that it was this young couple, and that's just what they did. They've got a 2-year-old, and that's what they're doing. They're she quit her job. She's going to stay home and raise the children. And it was just this you know, almost unbelievable concept, the radio interview that they were doing. Wow, how are you going to make ends meet? And on and on and on. And but we're seeing that. You know, again, that's, I think that those are the eyes we have to have. We have to see these things for what they are. This is an answer to come out of her, my people. I think it's a big step for a lot of these people. And you know, the enemy meant this COVID and this plandemic and all this. They mean it for bad, for evil. But God uses it. For those that love him, he is using it for good. And so it's really good. And I know we've talked about it before, you know, the impact it's going to make on the public school systems, the public school systems, when, you know, their numbers are down, when these tripling of the homeschool numbers roll around to the next year, the next fiscal year, and they don't have as many students. And so, you know, like we've talked about before, changes. We are seeing changes happening in this nation. Are you guys seeing those kind of things as well?
I've been hearing of people that I grew up with that are homeschooling their children, and I'm talking early high school all the way down to, you know, elementary age children, excuse me, that I wouldn't have never thought in a million years that they're homeschooling their kids. And so you are seeing it more, and you're right, Richard. When those numbers, because the schools get federal or state money from the, based on the number of kids that go to that school, you know, when those numbers are down, it's going to hit their pocketbook, and that's a good thing. And because they don't need to be teaching, you know, our children that, you know, and then I have children that are, you know, all of, you know, elementary to almost in high school. And, you know, and I sit there and I think about all the stuff that's going on and all that they're pushing. And, you know, you're not going to shield them from it, all this wickedness. And I'm a firm believer that you have to teach your children how to react when they see it, when they're on their own. And how do they react and move away from it when they're on their own? And, you know, that goes back a lot to the parents teaching their children on, you know, basically morals. And, you know, there is no profit morally or for immoral people. And like, yeah, they might have it right away, but, you know, because they don't have the burden like of people that I do. But, you know, we need to teach our children how to react when they see that kind of stuff, because my two older, they're fully aware of what a furry is, you know. And I don't know if everybody out there knows what that is, but I was stunned when I heard what that meant, you know. And you got to teach them. You got to teach them, because you're not going to shelter them from it. And, you know, and I'm not saying that homes, you know, but you have to prepare your children for many more things today than when I was a kid. And then, like, when Paul was a kid, I mean, it's a different culture. So, but yes, there are people that are pulling their kids out, and rightfully so. And hopefully we can get these Judeo-Christians, they can be leaving those churches too and get them broke too, you know.
Amen.
They need to go down. They need to go down, because they're teaching a fake Jesus. And it's literally morally corrupted this country, financially bankrupted it, politically allowed all these Baal preachers or teachers, because that's what they do. They teach Baal worship. And, you know, that's where the root is. That is where the root is. It's these churches out here, because they teach complacency, and they teach self-centeredness, and they, you know, because, you know, you're just worried about going to heaven, you know, and like you got to fit, you know, and I don't think that's right. So those are my thoughts on that. It's kind of a wide range of thoughts, but either way you go back to it, it's because of improper teaching of the Bible. No matter which way you go, that right there is the root cause, 100% every single time.
Yeah, because the answer
is right
there.
We've got to.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us. It says it to teach your children, and you're rising up and you're lying down, you're going out and you're coming in, and there's a couple other things. But the Bible tells us to teach our own children. The best way to teach somebody is to work with them. And this is the thing, and I think we're kind of mentally halfway between two systems. Sue, you're not going to save this system. That school system, for a long time, was planned to indoctrinate our children and get them out of the home. And the best person to do it now, you don't have to homeschool. I see these little honor schools around with the buggy ground. They got it. They're teaching them their ways, whatever, you know, because, but what I'm saying is we can have a collective school, but we better know what they're being taught. You see, because we got to go back to reading, writing, arithmetic, because people are extremely stupid and hang up their calculators and cell phones and start thinking. You know, but I even think the group that I'm just talking with is halfway in between this system. The system is going. It's gone. You can't preserve it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved in the school board or whatever like that. And it's about time that we took control of things and get in a bigger way too also. So, but we are ultimately responsible to know what those kids are being taught and make sure it lines up with God's word.
You're right, Paul, you know, putting our time into them, investing our time in them is the most important thing that we can do. And just like what Zach was saying, you know, we need to equip them. You can't put your head in the sand and act like all this stuff isn't out there. You know, we need to teach them the scripture of why immorality is so damaging. We need to teach them why homosexuality is wrong. You teach them what the Bible says about these things and not just try to act like they don't exist, because they are out there. And you see a lot of folks fall into that trap that, you know, shelter their children and keep them inside the house and never let them outside in the sunshine. And then whenever they come of age, they go out there and they just go wild. I'm sure just about everybody can think of examples of that, but we need to teach our children what is out there and what the Bible says about it. And that is how to deal with those issues, is the way that the Word teaches us. And then the danger of that counterfeit church, as you were saying, Zach, of not getting sucked into that.
Oh, Maldus, all the religion I was involved in my life didn't really care about what God had to say. They wanted to promote their denomination or their own personal beliefs, but they weren't really guided by the Word of God. I mean, you know, I think that's one of the worst places you could go. I told my kids not to go to church. I said, you want to know God, you take your Bible and go to the woods. You want to know people, join a church, because these churches, as we mistakenly call them, are definitely on the wrong track. You know, if you're in a 501c3 church where your gifts are tax deductible, you're in a cult. They've attached themselves to the whore of Babylon in Revelations. And see, then they all shut down their pandemic. So, you know, who's running them? You know, the government's running them. So.
Yeah, I likened it to, explained it to my children. I remember reading basically when I was in homeschool, but you know, there's two forms of government, and you have an external government and you have an internal government. And God's whole thrust throughout the Bible, any way you read it, is the exercise of internal government. External government is further from God than internal government. When you are a godly person, and when you serve God, and when you want to do what He wants done, you internally govern yourself to His way and his purpose. External government is for the ungodly, and this system that they're pushing on everybody today is all external government, because whatever they make illegal, they can make legal with the thought of it, with just their, and they can't, because God's government says this is wrong, this is right. Those are absolutes, and that's what internal government teaches us, is an absolute. You know, it requires you to govern yourself and be responsible to God for those decisions, for that govern and to that higher authority. And the question doesn't even exist as to whether you can get away with it, because we're told that, you know, God knows the heart and the soul and the purpose and mind of man. So there's no beating the grain out in wine press, you know, and getting away with it with God. I mean, it's when God tells you to do something or not to do something, you face either reward or judgment based upon your decision, and it's an absolute. You know, there is no way around it. So that's just kind of the way I've always thought about it and taught about it. You know, that we're responsible to God internally.
Well, the highest form of government is Christian self-government, which takes you back to Samuel when they wanted a king. They wanted irresponsibility with what they wanted, you know, and that's why Samuel was so distraught, and God said, well, your rebellion's not against you, it's against me, and that's Christian self-government is the highest form of government, and the New World Order is the lowest form of government.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and that's why we have things like this Disney scenario and, like, all these other things that are going on. Is those companies are they seek absolution through governmental edict. You know, they don't want to. They don't. They're not. There is no person up there that it's. You are the man. You're responsible for that. You know. You did that. You know. And that's the way they do that. And they're always looking for that. I mean, every single entity out there of any size today is some kind of government created corporate entity that bears no responsibility for its action as far as eternally, and they think, but God's keeping track, you know, so they think they can get away with anything, but be not deceived, right? So It's just a timetable, and he's coming for you. I like that old Johnny Cash song, you know, sooner or later God will cut you down.
Yeah.
And it's coming. So
we've let him do it.
Oh, amen. Yes.
I go one further. We've caused him to do it through our sin and through us turning from God.
I had a fellow come in yesterday, and he wanted a copy of DC Street Sorcery, and so I gave them to him, and I told him, I said, these are meat, you know, and he said, what? And I said, well, you know, take a look at them. There's a lot of stuff in there, but I said, and I've been guilty of this before. I said, the thing I want you to know is that God has it under control, that it's going to work and that it's going to be the way he wants it to be, no matter what. And that wherever you're involved, that's your job, you know, that God gave you. And you don't have to sit around it, because he gets a little depressed occasionally about things. And he's in a wheelchair, and he's like, well, what can I, you know, I just don't always know what I can do or what I can. And I said, well, God has, each of us have our own call, you know. And I said, it is unique to our abilities and our capabilities. And if you'll follow his calling, well, he'll bless accordingly. I mean, and, you know, once you get on that road, you're ready to go. So it's like kind of like going to, say, you're headed from here to southern Texas somewhere, like, you know, a town someplace. You don't know where you're going. You can't see the town. But that road's going to get you there, you know, you have faith because you keep putting gas in the vehicle and you keep heading that direction. So, you know, that's going to go. But I said, don't forget to enjoy the ride either. You know, I mean, there's God's got it all mapped out. So
that's right.
But
just stay on that road, right? This road will get you there. I like how you put that. This, you know, the right road will get you there. The wrong road will not get you there. That'll get you somewhere else. And you know, I think we do that, and you know, we attempt to teach our children that as well. That this road, you know, this straight and narrow path, this will you know, this will get you where you need to go, where you want to go. You don't really you may not realize right now that that's where you want to go. This other road, this broad way, this wide way may look better right now, but you stay on the right road, you'll get to where you need to go. I like how you put that, Tim.
Isn't it interesting that the scripture says, choose you this day? It is a choice every morning. You talking about that, Tim, as far as, you know, folks with depression and uneasiness and this and that. I mean, this is a lot of change. And whether change is for the good or for the bad, change is hard for people. And we got to remember, like Paul's saying, it's their system that is going down. It's not our system. Our system is Christ's system. That's the one that benefits his people. And so we shouldn't shed any tears over their system going down. I know that's easy to say, but we've got that connection. We've got that support. All we got to do is call him. And that's each day, you know, we should pray for him to guide us and direct us, and that he would grant us peace. And because it is, every single day when we get up, we got a choice of which God we're going to serve, because we are servant people, and that is what we do.
I think some people are under the mentality, and maybe this is just me, but you know, when the system is going down, and we all know that here, and we need to understand there's going to be a lot of work in order to put up God's system. And, you know, just like what Pastor Peters used to say when he was talking about the people, you know, moving out west and all the trials and Indian fights and everything they had to get into in order to establish this country, you're literally redoing the exact same thing in the exact same place. Well, on a worldwide scale. So there's going to, like, you know, people need to get their work boots on and get to work, you know. And like, you know, like Richard was saying earlier, you know, when these people, you know, now mama's going to stay home and homeschool the kids, and they're asking, well, how are you going to keep it? How are you going to make ends meet? Well, is what they need to do is go and talk to somebody that actually was able to keep mama at home, or is doing it and has the history of doing it in this, you know, in this system right now, and ask them how they're doing it. Because I will tell you right now, if you're going to be a man and keep your wife at home, it's not just a 40-hour work week.
No.
You're going from daylight till dark nonstop, and you better be tireless. And I think a lot of things, I might ruffle some feathers here a little bit, but I guess I don't care. Because Pastor Peters always used to say, you know, like back in the day in the 50s and stuff like that, you know, like where a man could go to work for 50 hours and pay all of his bills and have a little left over. And that can't be done today. And I think a lot of people have taken that point of view and given that as an excuse to be lazy. You got to get after it. in, you know, where I come from, in my little circle, I don't stop. And I know there's a lot of guys out there that don't stop, but you got to be, you got to wake up in the morning, put your boots on. Your boots need to be, but your work boots need to be next to your bed. I don't put slippers on. I go. And I know there's a lot of guys out there that go, you know. But, like, you got to have that mentality in order to get God's kingdom here. It's go time. It's not just sit there and wait for some magical. We are the physical body of Jesus Christ on this ground. It's go time. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, and also, too, it's easier to pay your bills whenever you're not riding in a brand new 2022 Platinum F-350. We got to structure ourselves and our finances so that, that we can do it. We got to, you know, prioritize what's important to us. And back to, I understand that right now we're not getting out of their system until it's time. I mean, Pastor Peter's talked about that because I struggled with different things with the system and being a part of it and all. And that was, you know, just the truth that right now, you know, we, to some extent, are going to be in their system. But we have choices to make of whether or not we set ourselves up to succeed or set ourselves up to fail. Back to that log in your own eye, you know, the beam in your own eye and the splinter in your other. You got to look at yourself first and say, okay, what am I doing that's setting myself up to fail? In every aspect of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had, I think it's interesting because, you know, my children are all grown, married, and gone, you know, not gone, but I mean, out of the house and on their own. And we got a new granddaughter, and my son asked me here just the other day, he said, well, you know, mom stayed home all the time, and how did you make that work? I mean, how is that possible? And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, well, you know, the truth of the matter is, son, I don't honestly know, except it was by God's good grace. And I said, it wasn't for any lack of effort on our part to make it happen. We did everything we possibly could to make it work. And it's like Zach said, you know, I worked literally 70, 80 hours a week, you know, trying to keep everything together. And we didn't, when the car needed an oil change, I changed the oil, and that was in my spare time. You know, it was like, I mean, or when those things needed done. But honestly, as far as mathematically, I don't really know, but I do know that God did it and that it worked. You know, at the end of the day, you do what you can, you pray hard, and you give him the thanks and the honor and the glory for it at the end, you know, because that's how it happens. So, and I think a lot of times that the commitment comes first. You know, I like that. I don't know how that's going to work, but by God, it is going to work, you know. And I think that, yeah. You know, so that's how it happens. I mean, you know, and it does work by God, because God works it out. So, you know, I think we were talking about the forefathers this morning, the pioneers that came over. And one of my wife's family members landed in Plymouth Rock, and he left the Netherlands with his wife and his 8 children to come to Plymouth. When he got here, he didn't have a wife anymore, and he had 2 children. But he went on, you know what I mean? And he went ahead and went on. And that's whatever the word is, heartrending as far as the fact that all those things went on. But God called him to a new land, and he went. And he made that commitment, and the fact that my wife's here says that God blessed him and he went on. So, you know, those things are that's the way it has always worked, you know. So, and that's that leap of faith, that make sure you're in God's will and go. So, and do you have doubts? Yes, you'll always have those because you're just human, you know, and you're not perfect. But God works all things. So I think we see a lot of that. We're seeing those times come around again is what I was trying to get at, where, you know, where people are going to serve God and, you know, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And it's a serious decision.
Oh, it is.
And it requires commitment.
It is. You know, you can look back at the scripture. You can look back at the scripture verses, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and ask yourself, which one are you? Are you one of the wise ones or are you one of the foolish ones? Because it was split down the middle. Those that were, you know, that were, had done what needed to be done, had, like you said, Zach, had you know, got up and put their boots on first thing in the morning and got after it. You know, that had bought their oil, that had done, not just believed, but had done, had the works to show for it, that prepared them to be ready. And those that didn't, they missed out. It's just as simple as that. They missed out. I encourage you.
Well, it's all a case of what's.
Go ahead, Paul.
It's all a case of what's important to you. You know, this lady said one time they're a bunch of dinks out there, double income, no kids. You know, they got a 3-stall garage and every toy in the world. And then you see people that raise 8 kids on the. And it's all a matter of priorities. And God blesses your works. You know, He provides your way. If you look back, sometimes it was just kind of miraculous, some of the things that happens in your life when you make His way important. But, you know, today it's all. People don't even think about not making payments today. It's just getting ingrained into them.
Right.
And the Bible says, oh, no, nothing. And this whole system, this whole usury system, is just strangling us. So, as a nation, you know, I never got involved in it. You just do without, you know, what's important to you. One time I seen a car, I was coming home from work, and this car went through the intersection. They had a tent tied on, and that thing, I was smoking like crazy. I didn't know if they were going to make the next mile. And you never seen happier people in your life. They had a smile on from ear to ear. I mean, it was just something you only see once in your life, but that, you know, that car was just smoking, but they had a tent and all their kids and stuff, and they were going somewhere. But I never seen happier people in my life, and that's you could just tell what was important to them, and they didn't have much.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't that King Ranch Edition F-350 that we heard about earlier. You know, it just wasn't. And not knocking those things, you know. If you're able to do those,
because they are really nice, and I would like to have one.
Oh my gosh, my brother-in-law's got one, and yeah, you could live in that thing. And you know, it's funny. My neighbor stopped by yesterday evening. He called me and said, "Hey, are you home? I'd like to stop by and show you something." And so he came by, and yeah, he's got a four-year-old, you know, Dodge four-door pickup truck Rebel, you know, and oh man, it's sweet. I mean, there's nothing, it luxurious, you know. And he said the same thing. Yeah, and he doesn't understand squat. You know, he said, "Hey, this is the first time in my life." He's my age. He said, "This is the first time in my life I've had a good solid job and got good credit, and they let me have it. It's only $350 a month." You know, it's a $45,000 he paid for the thing. You know, or will pay for it, end up paying $90,000 for it if he ever gets it paid off, which he won't. But it's a nice ride. Oh my gosh, it is. It's a nice ride. But you know, that's where the world's priorities are. That's where so many of our people. It's like, just, you know, what payment can I get? What payment can I get? And that's I think back. That's the ways of Egypt. You know, when they were wandering in the wilderness, and they said, "Well, at least we had leeks and onions in Egypt." They weren't growing them. I think they were buying them, and they were happy to do that. You know, at least we had leeks and onions. We had graves, and it just it we have to think about that. It was so hard for them to get out of that system, to get that system out of them, out of their thought processes, out of their habits. And that's where so many of us, so many of, I say us, our people are today. They are in the world and of the world, and they shouldn't be of the world. But so many of them is all they know. Paul?
They were growing them because they were slaves, yeah, and they were just feeding them good.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you got a horse that you want to work, you feed it good. You know, and that's what they were doing. They had a. It's just like today, you have a security with your stimulus checks and all that crap and stuff in it, but they weren't free spiritually. So,
right.
And then they, you know, that's our nature to go, oh, why did I do this? You know, because, you know, when you become a Christian, your world changes, and it ain't easy. You know, if you take a lot of persecution from the outside, you think everybody wants to know, but they don't. You know, I was reading in John, John the other day, and you're in the world. You're born in the world. You come out of it. Is that what you do? And it's through Jesus Christ. So,
yes.
Hearing Zach talking about working hard, and Paul reiterating, made me think about the fact that you cannot put a monetary value on favor, you know, being in God's favor. And I believe in that a lot of times when we receive that favor is because we are being obedient and doing what God has us to be doing. Because I know there's times in my life whenever something's happened and I was spared or however you want to, whatever the situation may have been. I was riding on the back of a tractor one time, Grandpa pulling a dirt slip, and I was standing on the back of the dirt slip, and the latch slipped on it, tripped on it, and it flipped that dirt slip inside out, and my legs should have been cut off, but I was able to jump off of that thing in a fraction of a second, and I wasn't crippled for the rest of my life. But I recognized right then that was favor. It shouldn't have happened that way, but God blessed me with something I didn't deserve. And there's not enough works that we can do to be able to deserve anything. But we do have a gracious Father that loves us, and He wants us to have the best. And there ain't nothing like it.
Amen. You know, I can remember seeing over the years that the world would put out, you know, how much it cost, and it was to discourage people from raising children. You know, I've seen that for the last 30 years. So, you know, new polls show or new research shows it's $100,000 to raise a child from, you know, birth to graduation, and I've seen it go from $100,000 to $150,000 to $200,000, and it's meant by the enemy to discourage. You know, you got a young couple out there that reads that. Oh my gosh, $200,000 to raise a child? I could never do that. You know, that's like buying another anymore. It's like buying another truck. Used to be buying a big old house, but now it's just that's almost like buying another truck. Oh, I can't do that. But when you look back and it's like you've never, you know, people that have done that, we've never had that kind of money, but yet we've done it. We've raised the children. And, you know, when you kind of look at it from a different point of view, like you said, Josh, you can't put a monetary value on God's favor, on being obedient to God, on trying, on, you know, doing your best, trying to follow Him, trying to obey Him. You know, the Bible says God is a rewarder of those that seek Him. And the monetary reward, you can't put a number on it. You just can't. But it is greater than anything the world has. It is. It's greater than those F-350 King Ranches. It's greater than the You know, I've talked about it before. I see it out here on the way to church on Sunday morning. In the wintertime, you see those F-350s and big old trucks with the trailers. With, you know, it's either snowmobiles in the winter or jet skis in the summer and four-wheelers. And, I mean, it's anything and everything you could imagine. You know, drift boats going up on the river. I mean, just it's never-ending. But
there's nothing wrong with that if your house is in order.
Absolutely.
And if you're getting it the way that you're supposed to.
Absolutely.
Not talking.
Absolutely. But you know and I know that the majority of those, their houses are out of order. They're up to their eyeballs, if not sinking in debt. It's all just the smoke and mirrors. It really is. And it's all it's them searching, you know. Searching for that joy, for that comfort and peace that only comes from Christ. That's what a lot of them are. And you look at them, the families, they're broken families, they're mixed families. It is out of order. It is. And I agree with you 100%. There's nothing wrong with those things. I know families that have all those things, that the family is in order, that Christ is first. And then the husband, and then the wife, and then the children, and they have all those things, and that's fine. There's nothing, but the majority of it, I think it shows that anything and everything but God.
So
there's nothing wrong with the prosperity. God wants us prosperous, but you take Abraham, an extremely wealthy person in his day, you know, but when he came right down to it, he was willing to sacrifice his son to obey God. Now, with our wealth, our obligation, number one obligation, we have to tithe. And when, you know, if you go in the book of Acts, when they tithe, they didn't know what to do with their money. And that's just a matter of taking care of loving your neighbor and take care of what that gets rid of. You get rid of that banker, that usury system. And we can come out of this system, but it's just a matter of priorities of how we do things. You know, there's a lot of people that deal in cash yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, whenever we start thinking about those things, I always kind of go back to Philippians 4:12. And, you know, it says, I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. It's a training program, and there's a secret to it. And, you know, I think that it's part of our training, part of our, you know, we talk about homeschooling our children. Well, God's homeschooling us, you know, and if you don't pass, you're going to take the lesson again.
That's right.
I mean, he's pretty big on the test part. You know, he doesn't grade on a curve. I mean, you know, so you're gonna get it right, or you're gonna do it over. So that's just the way it is. We need to be, if you're happy in Christ. Or like Paul said, the car going by with the kids. I've known people like that too, Paul. You know, they're just, it's like they're flat broke, and they got the love of Jesus in their heart, and they just keep on going. You know, it doesn't stop them. And I feel the same way a lot of times about this debt issue. We see people out there who are burdened down with debt, and you know, deny the power of the debt over you and claim the power of Christ over you, and they have no ability to destroy the joy of your salvation. I mean, it's like, so have you made a mistake there? Yes. Is it going to ruin your life? No, because the abundance of life comes from Jesus Christ. So, you know, the real benefit of that test is you don't get kicked out of school when you don't pass. You get to take it again.
That's right. That's so right. You get in a little deeper. Get in a little deeper. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I did want to close on this. Just a good positive. Our brother Patrick had sent me a text, I think on Wednesday, and he said, who says you can't fight City Hall? The Apple Valley, Minnesota City Council was going to pass a gun control law that would ban the legal carry of firearms on public property. And that was just this week. That was the 14th on Thursday. He said, I just got word that the city council has changed their mind due to pressure from the citizens. Praise the Lord. All glory to God. And I mentioned to him, you know, I think that's a result of praying for our leaders. It is. And so don't want you to be discouraged, folks. You know, that's what we try to do with these, with all that we do here, is to encourage you to. Things are changing. They are. One here, two there. The Bible talks about line upon line, you know, piece upon piece, a little bit at a time. And so we are, we're seeing that. And our prayer is that you have the eyes to see it and to continue to be part of it. Well, guys, thanks again. We are out of time this morning. Men, thank you so much for taking time. Hopefully you got some of your coffee drank this morning. I got my cup down. And Remnant, we do want to invite you to church with us tomorrow. You can do that wherever you have a computer or your smartphone. I don't think they're too smart, but that's what they call them. But you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And when you click there, or when you go there, you can click on the live video stream, and we'll start up about 8:30 in the morning Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth and a live message for you, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion. We're continuing to remind you the Passover makeup day is May 2nd. And so we encourage you. We'll give you a little hint on that, and continue to encourage you to observe that. And if you have any questions about that, by all means, contact us here at the office. Well, men, again, thank you so much. And Remnant, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.